And the big thing for me is to be saying, when's the first time I've ever been to the
effort?
Okay, so then, so anyway, what I'm going to suggest is that we take care of these things down here as soon as we can, and then we will, all good gunfighters never face their back to their fort shell. Good move. Anyway, the one thing that you, I don't think we should worry about that up there. Until we get the problems taken care of down here and get these open. The upper water system, there's 14,000 gallons of water up there. 10,000 gallons of it we can use. 4,000 gallons is a reserve. I still don't think we should drink the water. I think that anybody coming in should know not to drink the water. We need to get tests on those, both the upper and lower systems.
What was we doing with that? We're going to get some samples.
We were going to use that. We're going to use that district. Service in. We're going to use that service in Salt Lake. Now that Jeff's here, Ben's going to send out. What's Mark's last name? The guy that's
Mark Fisher.
Fisher. Okay. He's going to send Mark out from the King County Water Conservancy District. He'll show us the proper sampling techniques that this lab wants to use. We'll get the labs. We'll get the samples, take them to Kanab. We FedEx or UPS them overnight to the lab up in Salt Lake, and then they do the test. Mark says that the lab in Cedar City is somewhat unreliable, and that's what we've been using for us.
Can I ask that when that sample comes out, when we get Ben to send Mark out, that you can also be there?
I'm planning on being there, and Jeff's planning on being there. And it would actually be beneficial if we can have one other person there that can look at the so they know how to do the sampling. And because there's times when it would be really nice to be able to take a sample, either say to somebody, "Hey, go take it. If you're going in town, take a sample, or we'll take a sample. Here's the procedure."
My thought behind that is this: God forbid something ever happens down the line, nobody's available, or things change hands, or something, that somebody's around. And we laid all our eggs in one basket before.
And I you guys laid all your eggs in one basket right now. If something happened to me, you'd have to probably fall back in here and nowhere else available. I'm at that point, I could die any day. And so I'm trying to bring Jeff up today. Anyway, my point is that we need to. I wouldn't drink that water on that upper system until we sample it.
Right. What's the frequency? What's the frequency of sample?
Every quarter. At least that's what we've been doing. I don't know if this new procedure is going to change. But
it'll be the paper on each gallon of water or something.
The what?
If I wanted to send a sample in from my well.
You could probably piggyback on. It's pretty expensive. If I was you, I'd take a sample off of your well. And there's other services that are less expensive, and you could use it. And do whatever you want. But you're welcome. I don't see why we couldn't piggyback with other people if they wanted. But it's a fairly expensive proposition. Because of the overnighting and all that.
It all depends on what test you want. There's a whole series of tests.
There's a whole series of tests.
You can choose from personally. I did it in Cedar with my own, and it can be pricey, and it depends on how fast you want to turn through on it. So.
Yeah, and so I just or I can come over and take a taste and go, or go give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. So anyway, right now I'm worried about these lower cabins, getting them open to make sure we got. The guests are coming in, and then we'll get those upper cabins open. But we have the pressing issues of the pressure-reducing valve and just getting these cabins open.
Ben, I think the board, as individually and as a board or as a membership, are super grateful to you. We would really be in a hurt. So we appreciate your expertise, all the time you've spent on the thing.
And your patience.
And we appreciate that.
Well, Thank you, Dale.
Nice work.
I've told you before, this is mine. You know, I treat it as mine, and so I just feel like I'm taking care of my own stuff. So I appreciate that. But to be honest with you, no thanks are necessary.
You will be
Oh, well, let us continue thinking, though. I mean, don't just know that we do
it.
I
know you do. And I'm going to try to bring. I'll try to bring Jeff and Evie up to speed as soon as I can. Incrementally, and there's so many things to learn. There's so many little, nuances about one thing or another. It's not quite as straightforward as everything is, mostly because over the years when we've upgraded, it's like when we used to have the 3,000-4,000 gallon tanks right up there by the county road. Well, when we moved it up to the 40,000 gallon tank, we had pressure problems there. So we had to have the pressure reducing valve. And then we had from the original installation of the pipes, the thrust locking adequate for where the 4,000 gallon tank was, inadequate for where the 40,000 gallon tank is. So anyway, it's all interesting problems to solve. So, any questions?
Nope.
There will be a test.
Hey, it's on the 18th in cabin 2. On the 18th in cabin 2.
In cabin 2?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Okay, well, that changes things.
I know.
We'll figure it out. All right, we'll figure it out. Cabin, if we get it, once we obligate ourselves to get those upper cabins working, we got to do them all. We can't isolate and, we can't just open cabin 2 and not the other ones, because once you turn the water in, the water's in.
Since we're talking about the reservations right now, Linda, I know when you typed up the minutes you saw in there that we talked about on our last meeting, we need to get those passwords for the board members only for the reservations.
Yeah, I saw that. I've been kind of busy.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I knew I was going to talk to you about it, and I know you and I have had several conversations this last month. I figured you saw it already.
I did. If you
can make sure
you seem to go to the top of priority.
Yes, you can make sure you get that out. I would go on an individual email basis instead of trying to throw it to our normal group.
Right.
So we know individually. I know we try to send things to. But let's just send that just to send one to Jody, send one to Dale, send one to me, send one to Sean, just individually so we have it so it doesn't get shared out amongst everybody else.
Okay. I think there's one more thing to add to that, Mark, is on that site when you go, there's a concern about the members' credit card numbers listed there.
Exactly.
So Vance is trying to work with the web developer to lock that out so we can go in and see the reservations, but we won't have the credit card numbers. I think that's a little bit of a hole, too. He's working on that, though.
All right, let's move on then. Under roads and fire protection, I know we were talking about the Title V, but Dan is currently working with...
No, Dale.
Yeah, that's yours.
His name is Kenny Mark.
That's yours.
The road guy?
Yeah.
I think it's Mark.
Mark's
Christian. Yeah, they used to be Hugh Wolf. I think it's Mark. So cool.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and wait till we get Ben back to the meeting to see how that update goes. I know we postponed it because of he was in a schooling update, getting ready to come out. So, as far as fire protection, I know that you're working on a community project for it right now.
A community project. And now that Jeff's here, I can actually spend a little bit of time on it. It's really the risk assessment part of it's done. The big thing is just compiling information, so I'll be sending you a laundry list of things that information that I need.
Okay.
Most of it includes the board members' names and addresses and telephone numbers and whatever. And then the other thing that we have to have is we have to have a contact list for contractors.
You're going on it. Nolan Button is going on it.
Anyway, what we need to do is be able to have a list of people, and if we have a problem out here, we need heavy equipment, we can call them and they'll show up. I simply haven't had time to work on that and work on my other projects.
What do we call that? The community fire what?
Community fire
plan.
So,
All right. I know it's a big undertaking.
One of the big issues that we have right now is we got to get our 4,000 gallon fire tank
overflow.
We got to get that fixed. And Paul never reconnected that, and so when I drag the backhoe down here for whatever reason, I'll dig that, and we'll put that line back in. And all it does is just takes the overflow off the 40,000 gallon tank, fills the 4,000 gallon fire tank, and then the standpipe is over there right off Meadow Canyon. I'm sure you've all seen it when you drive by it all the time. Ultimately, I'd like to bury that.
You have a 1 foot wide bucket.
I'd like to bury that water line. It just sits on top of the ground. It's never been a problem because it's not operational during freezing temperatures. But we're going to have a bad fire season. So.
Can you fill the 4,000 gallon tank without it being overflow?
We can if we want to run some pipes and do a few things. But right now it's just
because the 40,000 gallon tank sometimes is not always full.
Right. If what I would like to do is pump this thing and get it full, and then fill the 4,000 gallon tank, and then
full from then on.
Yeah.
And then the 40,000 gallon tank can go up and down as long as that. And then if we have a fire, we immediately start the generator. We start filling that 40,000 gallon tank because it's not going to take long to use 4,000 gallons of. We signed an agreement with the BLM and Forest Service and State Division of Forestry a couple years ago about them using our ponds as dip ponds.
Helicopter dip.
So they will use the ponds to take water out of them. We'll allow them to pump out of our ponds if they have to. So, in fact, they used our ponds when they had that fire up by my place,
yeah.
And they came in and dipped there and, you know, dropped 6,000 gallons of water on the place they couldn't get to. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but I'm working on that. I'll have more time to work on it now.
Okay. Thank you for that report. Next on the agenda item is this Wingate and other youth programs near the ranch. We had a report this morning.
Well, just on my way in, I pulled out of the Five Canyon windmill well area and, you know, flagged me down. And the gal driving looked just like your daughter when I finally backed up, and I thought it was going to be, I mean, your daughter that was out here with your dad
uh-huh.
2 months ago or something, uh-huh. or whenever. But she said, "Hey, have you seen that? A young lady running down the road." I said, "No." I just said, "Oh, another escapee?" And she said, "Yeah." So they're camped, but again, at least one of their groups is over in the Flight Canyon area, and they've got a runaway this morning.
They're on BLM.
Let me tell them about his experience.
No, I had 2 weeks of just friends.
I got an email on that one.
So I came home to face one email about a kid had run away from their camp, and he hurt, well, I don't know what it was, but to tackle him in my driveway, and he was mad at him, throwing rocks, going everywhere, and I told him if they didn't get this situation, and if we started up in about 5 minutes, he didn't want that. Half an hour. And the guy told me to go check, because he'd already checked all my doors, windows, and everything. I couldn't get in. I very seldom walk my.
Exactly.
I am now, and I'm taking all the keys out of all my vehicles and everything else.
Well, this should be an area we don't have to worry about that. My philosophy and feelings on that. Yeah, they're so worried about us getting the Sheriff's Department involved. Why don't we get the Sheriff's Department involved and let them know that we're having too much problems up here?
What we need to do is, on each one of these, I have a file that I've started with all of those stories that I've gotten so far. We need to collect these stories, and we need to be able to turn them in, yeah.
Is this a county-run project?
It's not county-run, no. It's a private project.
How do they get out there? Do they have to file to do something to be out here or
anything? That's one of my questions.
How do they get on private property?
We couldn't take one of our ranch member groups out here on a day trip without
of some
of permit, so how are they doing it?
So, yeah, how are they camping out there with 15 or 20 people?
We can't take scouts. We can't do anything.
Yeah,
so where are they coming out
with? Have to have permits all the time, too, to do such.
So how are they getting here?
Yeah, yeah. So this is about second time or third time since you've been.
Yeah, I picked up a runaway last year. Just here by the windmill. He was not too happy when I took him back to camp.
But you know, you shouldn't do that, Lee, because that could be dangerous. You
yeah.
don't. Obviously,
the guy was. I mean, she hadn't had anything to drink.
Yeah.
Well, I just, there's a camp right up there by the gravel pit.
Right,
well, yeah.
I'm sure Lee had his 44 underneath his big finger anyway.
I don't carry that anymore.
These are it's like a troubled youth program, is that what it is?
Yeah, well, that is
a
program.
School.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of them around Southern Utah. And other places, but they bring them out here and they hike and camp and get a wilderness experience and realize what a great life they might have been.
This is something new to us out here, and it's apparently the last little bit, so we need to get a hold of group leaders or something somehow. And
right.
Well, one of the things I was going to suggest about this whole thing, and that is that maybe the thing we ought to do is meet with the, or you guys, I'm not the prisoner here, meet with the
director?
The director or the leader or
what's
whoever.
Name?
Well, Paul and Nancy made connections with them, and they had given them permission to do some things, and were working some things on the ranch here, too. They would come in and do some projects, from what I understand. So there is some connection there, and perhaps that connection is being abused. I don't know.
Well, maybe we need to reevaluate
need
that
to
and
that.
Go back and,
yeah,
and talk to these people and just say, hey, look, you know, these are our concerns.
Does anybody know who it is out of Canap?
I can find out.
By the way, it's Lee.
I think the owner that runs the place is the Gallagher.
Gallagher?
Yeah, I think you're right.
That sounds right.
Their office is right down there on 89.
Yeah. By the county sheriff.
The padlock and stuff we found in the middle of the road 2 weeks ago was one of their employees that had stuff out in Val storage and had dropped it. Anyway, they found out and tracked me down, and so I took that lock and keys back to them. 2 or 3 days ago, when the young man, I just asked how many groups they had out here, and he said they had 2 or 3 different ones. And I said, well, the group I've seen recently, earlier this year, wasn't here. It was, you know,
20s and 30s.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, we do an adult group and different 18 to 30 group. So I said the older group is 25 to 50.
Better.
Wow. I'm outside the range. They're substance abuse rehab type clients.
You know, the danger of dealing with those kind of people is they get desperate and they see you've got resources around here and
you've
got the problem or handle it.
When Linda reported to me, I came down and checked all the cabins and, you know, the garden cabin had been unlocked, and locked the garden cabin, and just, you know, took all the keys to everything, grader, Kubota, anything that had wheels on it. I did leave the keys for the generator. I figured if he could get that started, we ought to hire him. Anyway.
All right. Well, Linda,
but I do need anybody that has a situation, I mean, just a minor situation, if you feel like, well, that's not really important, no. Send me an email so that, because I'm collecting these, so that we can let them know what kind of problems we're having, because the county does need to know.
If you could track down that name for me, I'll converse with Ben a little bit, and between the two, we'll see if we can maybe get on a conference call, or if anybody else wants to jump on a conference call with that. And I'll be in up the Great White North here in 2 days again, so I'm sure I can get on a, hopefully it's still long enough to do so.
Okay. Well, we need to say it again.
We're always tracking to their camp because they leave those blue water jugs.
Exactly. Yeah, they leave jugs and supplies along the road. So that's part of their program. Jeff should be on that call too when you talk to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's Evie. Hello.
Good morning.
Put Evie's name down half away.
I'm getting up to get ready.
Yeah, and I will. I'll get that for you.
Hey, you can have the seat of honor.
I'm going to go real quick. I'm sorry, I know you've got a lot of...
And quite a great personal sacrifice. I'll move over here by Bella's. Well, I'll just sit here.
We had an idler arm go out on our Suburban. I put a new serpentine belt on it, and I realized that idler was out, and it's at 10 o'clock, so the parts stores are closed. My heart is thinking, I'm in despair, thinking, oh, no, we can't tell these people we can't be there. And she's over there praying for me, and soon after that, some guy shows up, and he looks in there, and he says, oh, yeah, that idler, he's got one on his van that doesn't, he's not using it. So he took it off of his van, handed it to me, so it's not a testimony of how smart we are, it's a testimony of how good our God is, that he guides us to what we needed to be here.
Amazing.
It was a miracle. So anyway, that was our adventure last night. And I thought, first of all, I was thinking maybe Brett, vandalized it, so it was a test to see if we could get it.
Well, like I said, I'd have driven up to Salt Lake and got it. That's not even a joke. I'd come about Dale Suburban and, you know.
The next item is not on the agenda. It's the seating on Meadow
Canyon. I'm going to be going into that here.
Okay.
So I'm going to just move right into Ben's area. Ben did put out a last-minute note to me, to everybody, I'm sure, and that's regarding the speeding that was reported down Meadow Canyon. Do you thought these people came from the top? Top's open?
No, I don't know about the ones. I know that the ones that was reported as a dark Ford F-350.
I saw it last night, man.
Anyway, the ones that ran me off were a 90-minute Chevrolet Ford Drive.
Larry, the problem is not necessarily going up. Just that road's steeper than it looks. And if you can't get going that fast. But coming down,
you can get motoring.
I mean, especially somebody who's got a load or pulling a trailer, or like when Alan's running that dump truck.
Yeah.
Man. And I think
one of his young boys. It's real scary.
Yeah, sure.
I think we need to put some more speed limit signs up there. And like I say, though, for me, the drift bends always act as a... slowing people down, so they had to stop, get out, open the gate, close the gate, type thing. And with that cattle guard there, now it's just... And so we either need to do one of them. I think putting up some speed limit signs to see if that helps, mostly for the southbound folks.
Oh.
And if that doesn't work, then speed bumps.
What about some old construction bumps?
Yeah. I don't know, but you know, I mean, I've had personal experience with it. Most anybody who's driven on Meadow Canyon has.
Yeah.
You know, actually, Dale and I almost came together, but we were both going relatively slow in the gravel pit that one night when I was coming in with the load. You were coming around the corner, and it can happen. And we weren't going fast because I was coming down the hill with the load, and I was going pretty slow. And you know, Dale knows that's a blind corner, and so. But other people who don't know.
I don't know if speed limit signs are going to do us any good, because we have signs up here that says don't drive on the airstrip, and they don't adhere to them either. So I think that'd be a waste of...
Well, let's try it.
Yeah,
we can try it.
We can try it and see if it works. but it's a problem.
The question is, what kind of sign do you want to put up? Do you want to do the old Forest Service type sign, or do you want to just get a regular speed limit type 25 miles per hour sign? White one with red lettering.
I think the white one would be reflective.
I will get them. If that's what you want to do.
I'd say...
The wake free zones around the marinas. You have to be out beyond the ranch borders to start making the dust.
I really like the idea of putting a sign like that up along with the 25 mile an hour sign, because that's what gives Deer Springs Ranch character.
Well, actually, don't permit signs.
If
you can beat this sign, you're not.
Tell me what you want, and I will get it.
Should we try then, what, four of them?
Four of them would be good.
425 miles per hour, okay.
Two spread out properly to spacing for the people who go in, northbound, and two properly spaced out for the people going southbound.
Okay.
I do have a vendor that can do custom those, too, if we decide we want that. Metal ones,
yeah.
Or you could have 25 miles an hour or less if you were making dust.
Well, let's see how much they cost first.
I used that one. My guy just went out of business last month, so.
Oh.
You
could have customized them because when you raise the window and it's Mark Ortolani is here, so you better stay way over on your
side. Mark's here. Slow down. Watch out.
All right. Also on Ben's list that he put out there, he was talking about a fencing map, and is this the one I just...
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you got there.
He wanted to have us look at this fencing map.
So read it.
See if we can make some heads or tails out of it. I don't know what Ben has as far as with hunts, what kind of schedule grazing
Let's talk about fences.
Okay.
Well, I need to know what kind of areas we are will be grazing. Does he have pastures figured out yet so we can worry about what fences and what areas?
I think that's what Ben and he were working on.
So, yeah.
I talked to on Saturday they're going to be running cattle up to the windmill, and then on the 13th and 14th weekend they're going to be bringing them to the ranch. So, and it sounds like he's coming to the lower part first, because on 8th and 9th of July, they're going to move them to the Broad Hollow and to the meadow, at least 50 head.
Well,
Sean, I thought you cut the peacocks.
We're working on it. We just baited them over there. You're going to have to slam the door when they go in there for the bait.
There's one sneaking up on you from behind.
Oh. Well, they thought I was carrying the bait.
I think he's going to be in the lower area first.
It sounds to me like they're coming in from the well field first. Okay. They'll be coming up.
Did he say the well field?
From the well field, is what they told me. No, not the well field.
Have you been up at a canyon?
The windmill. That's from the windmill. I lied.
I'll tell you what, folks. There's some serious nice grass.
Beautiful.
It's that down that Broad Hollow area down below my place. Boy, I'm telling you what. There's some feed there.
Well, he's planning on that on July 8th and 9th. Maybe he'll run them.
He should run on that crested week before then.
By July, none of that will be
edible. Well, let's tell him to run it up there instead of stopping from the window.
I can tell you right now, this lawn was pretty good just a few days ago, and now it's dry. That's how fast things are changing.
Crested wheat, the cattle only eat it when it's fresh and young and green, and as soon as it starts to dry at all, they won't eat it, so it'll stand there.
They'll nibble at the ground, it's fresh stuff coming up and leave the top.
Well, I didn't know that.
Let who know what?
Doug, I'm telling them that's probably a better plan is to get to the Broad Hollow first.
Okay, are you coordinating this, or are you coordinating it?
I don't know what Ben's doing. All I'm trying to figure out when they're... I can't figure out how to get my cattle, my horse rides with the cattle when they keep changing the date.
We just talked about communication, and here's kind of a good example.
Yeah, communication.
Go crazy.
You've got to be able to communicate.
Well, we better talk to Ben and tell him to talk to Doug, and it doesn't matter, but I have to know when to tell people so they can come and help gather cattle.
Why don't you?
He's planning an event in July for other people to join him and be part of.
That's July 8th and 9th.
Yeah, he's planning that. I don't know that he's thinking that other people will come in and join on any other rounds or moves.
No, he told me they should.
Yeah, he said they could, but I don't know that he's planning on having other people join him. So. And I'm sure some of that is just a matter of, well, the grass looks good now, let's move it. But we need the event that we need to put for that July 9th one, for the, you know, for anybody that wants to come out and do that. Unless he's looking for extra help, that's the one that we need.
We'll be a lot smarter by July than we are today.
Yes.
Well, if we move into the, whether it's the lower section or even here to Broad Hollow, this fence needs to be the main fence.
Those are important fences.
Those aren't fences at all, Mark.
Those aren't fences.
Yeah, have no relationship to fences.
Those are just the borders.
Those are
private.
Borders with private land.
Gotcha.
They go up over top of mountains and down below.
Yeah,
that's why we need to communicate. It, there is a fence. If you look at that, there's a fence here under my pencil.
Okay, so this yellow one is a fence.
And there's a fence across the bottom.
Okay, right here.
And to clarify the situation on cabin 7, Ben said he wanted to do the fencing with buttons and with this gesso and deal with hunt on cattle. And so I don't know if, you know, that's why I was asking whether you were taking over those.
I'm not taking over anything. I'm just talking about what we can do.
When Larry and I got ready to leave here 10 days ago, a guy stopped us out at Orlani's Corner, said, I've been looking for you all day. I'm supposed to do some fences up here. What do you want me to do? I said, don't ask me. He said, well, I was told that you'd know where. I said, yeah, I made a map and gave it to Ben of where all the fences were, because I know where the fences are. And what Ben did with that map, or that worked at BLM, but my map showed fences. This showed property ownership. And the guy said, I'm ready to go to work. And he said, Ben talked to him about doing the cattle guard out on the west side. I said, gee, that fence usually has no cattle pressure on it. We should get our pastures where we can hold the cows so Brent doesn't have to chase horses and cows every day. There should be pastures that are enclosed for livestock. And so I told this guy, I said, I would certainly not in this long fence here. He said, I walked up in a ways, and it's in fairly good shape. Well, yeah, it's fairly good shape. It's one of the newest fences on the ranch that the BLM built. And we've never had cattle pressure on that. I said, the pressure is down around Goro Johnson's and this road to this here. But I said, this is co-owned by Morris Brown, and you should talk to him as to whether he's going to maintain it. I said, you should tell me how to drive down the wash around Johnson's and look at that. Evidently, he went down there before he left. He said, there's a great place that we can stay out here. Shall I bring out an RV? And I said, well, number one, call Linda. Number two, call Ben. Number three, if you can't do any of those, call you. And that's why they went up to your house early, late, I don't know when it was. I also said, if there's any question when you're talking with Linda or these, you'll use a week of my time to try to help out. And I didn't think about any reservation fee. If we have people coming out here to work for us, he wanted me to sign a contract. I said, gee, I don't know anything about a contract. I'm not getting in the middle of this thing. And however, his price at 10 cents a foot is a very attractive price. And so anyway, I didn't want to help him very much that day as we left, but I gave him that information. I don't know whether he called Linda, whether he called Ben, or whether he just knocked on your door. But I apologize. I did not mean to irritate you in any way, shape, or form. And then evidently he came and moved in one of the cabins Mark called me when I was back in Missouri and wanted to know who this strange man was who was in Captain Cell. And I said, I don't know. But that's possibly Lloyd Jepson. And I don't know where it went from that. I don't know how much work he did. I don't know how much work Buttons have done.
I think Ben Korn maybe with him after that.
So I don't know. But that's what I made a map of the fences that are critical for cattle management. And so how we move on that, what Taylor did, what this Jepson did, or a lot of it is pretty cool, I guess. So anyway, that's the next release on this map. Now the Jepson had a bigger map, this same thing, but on a much larger scale.
Hmm.
And boy, I would like to have a copy of that, and go ahead and put these. I don't know what happened to the map. I'll ask Ben where the map is that I gave him, but I color-coded it. Those that need new fences, repair fences, or fences to ignore.
Well, I can tell you what I can tell you exactly. I don't know what I know what the Buttons did exactly with the Buttons, and that's the fence north of the human reservoir there, the cattle guard. They tied that fence in.
Those
cattle crews, all the way to the up to the west, and then all the way to the east. Those are now cattle solid. And then he tore the old gate out, which is actually sitting out there. Made a wire gate, put a gate in there, put that gate in there. They went up, and because there was no the cattle guard there, the old drift fence was not. I mean, the fence wasn't tied up. So he brought that in. He went up and took the gate. He asked me if it was okay, and I looked around and went, "Yeah, okay, I'm okay with it." He took the gate we've never used, never been closed in the 10 years I've been here. That goes up to the Beauvais, you know, mm-hmm. just after you go from the crossroads.
Just from the ponds.
Right, just from the ponds there. He went and took that gate, brought it down, stuck it to the west side of the drift fence. And now what we need, and that's all tight, and that's all cattle tight, all the way up. And we need some wings for the cattle guard. Because the posts are set. But there's, you know, those miserable longhorns can get around them.
It looks good.
So that's all really good. And then they came down and they fixed the fence off of the Scoot and Paw down here low by your by the surface drainage.
North end of the well field.
Right. That's all done up. That's all tied together up that way. Since in terrible shape, mostly pieced and patched together, that fence, in Taylor's opinion, and of course Taylor's kind of a premier fencer, and so he's not really satisfied with fixing it, so he said that fence really needs to come out and a new fence put in, because he did the best he could to fix it. It was pretty bad. He didn't even that.
And what is the name of that?
Wellfield.
Wellfield.
The west boundary of the Wellfield, yeah.
But, you know, just like Wellfield. You put cows in and they'll beat you home. So somebody should walk the whole thing and either put a new fence all the way around or repair the old fence. But I don't know that anybody has walked it or these fences over across here. And until we get smarter than the cows, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree. Trust me, those cows are smarter than I am. I have no problem admitting that.
All right. So moving on to one other Ben's items that he spoke of there. He was kind of bouncing back on something that I also put out there a while back, is that when the board is actually shooting around emails to everybody, we need to watch who we're shooting them out to and include them only to board members or ranch managers. Reminders on he carried weight at the reset to all or reply to all button too frequently. So I'd please ask me to do that because this is right. We need to keep it all within board.
Speaking of that, from this point forward, make sure you don't scan anything. I'll talk to these guys and you can include them.
Okay.
Now I'll help them with the creative writing. But
all right. see. Something else I wanted to throw out there, too. I know that you've started some of the equipment services and maintenance. I'd like you to, if you would, please show Jeff our, those books that have been so, so purchased but never used. And let's start a trend on these things. We want to, Jeff, what we're looking to do is to monitor the hours since last service. We want to monitor our costs on the vehicles, equipment that we're using. We want to monitor the hours that they're being used, and in what way. You know, on the Kubota, are we doing brush hog today? Are we using snow plow tomorrow? You know, kind of keep general ideas of that stuff down. And as you come up with a complete list of filters and so forth, I'd like to see if I can help out the ranch by getting some decent pricing. I throw tens of thousands of dollars through my parts to people all the time, every month, and I'm sure I can get some special pricing on a lot of these filters we're using. So I'd like to see if we can help the ranch out, Matt, as soon as you can get those lists to me. If you'd email me the part numbers that you have, I'll see what I can do on my end to assist the ranch on some better. Be surprised what I can get. You'd be surprised.
Good. You know what? Right before Paul left, I brought in like 6 to 8 log books that were for each piece of
paper. We found them.
You did find them?
They're in the ranch house. They're on the...
Okay, good. I just didn't want them having to go out and buy
and
new ones.
And they're filled out as far as we go. Everything right now is serviced except for the Dodge. And that's the only thing that needs to be done. And that would have been done had I not had the boo-boo with my leg. I'm a freak about the oil thing and the service stuff.
So, you know, the equipment should be seen about a 200-hour service interval.
So,
what happened to that one belt on that alternator?
I'll show you that. I'll show you that. People either love me or hate me. This crowd is not really thrilled with me. There are other people here who are...
We love you!
Who do like me, and I can get Joe Bose to give us a hand fixing that grader belt. That's kind of a big job. Larry and I would have done it, it's just, we just didn't have time. So, but also, maybe
the belt needed to go in Paris. Because one will stretch out, the other one...
Yeah, we need to do that. Before we run that, I mean, the oil chain, before we run that thing, we've got to get those belts changed. I wouldn't run it. We'll just be pulling it off the side of the road somewhere and fixing it there. So.
Okay. Get Jeff also included in with that hunt closely on that scheduling for all the cattle. See if you can get with Ben on that, Jeff. About the cattle issue. I do want to get that. We do need to get pastures verified where we want to shoot them first, second, third, so they're moving them all over the place instead of just pre-grazing. Because it's bad on the ground. So, all right. Moving on. Water resources management, Dale, anything?
Haven't got started on anything. I thought as Brent wrote about filling the upper cabins, it'd sure be nice if we had a big 4-inch valve there that filled that tank in an hour or two. And we have to get the Meadow Canyon system in so that it's approved and certified. And the volume of water and the pressure and stuff is there to service the upper cabins like it should be. And there's going to be an expense on putting new pipe up the mountain and some of those items later on. But I could see in Brent's letters the agony that he's gone through to try and evaluate that and get it going. So I had a geologist up a couple of weeks ago, and he's doing some study to try and help us understand what the dirt is underneath us. Any suggestion he has should have a well man over to talk to us about pumps and solar and moving water and things this next week. But there's nothing new that I'm aware of on water resources or management at this time.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
Is there a flexible connection from the tank to the pipe so that if there's movement that it has some forgiveness, or can is there any shutoffs on the tank itself in case a pipe does burst that you can mitigate the problem?
I'll explain it to you. It's
hands-on would be best.
Yeah, it's a very long explanation, but to answer your first question, real simply, no. It's a heart connection all the way up. That's never really been the problem. The problem is we had no valves. A couple of years ago, we put in valves on everything, and now we're able to isolate the lower part of it than the upper part. And it was just like here. You used to have to, if you were going to dig up a hydrant here, you had to shut the water off up there at the ball, which is up by the road, the county road, drain this whole system down to nothing, dig the hydrant up, fix the hydrant, and then go back up and turn the water in. We were wasting thousands of gallons of water. Same thing on the upper end. Had no valve shutting off the pump. And so if you had a problem in the line anywhere, you literally had to drain thousands of gallons of water out of the system and then make the pump repair and then pump the water back up. One time we just got tired of that. So when we closed it down, I dug a couple of holes, put valves in on everything, put the shutoff valve down at the lower end, and then, anyway. Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah. All right, then let's move into ranch activities with Shauna.
Well, I kind of jumped the gun. I was just trying to nail down a time when Doug Hunt would be coming so I could have some kind of date. He said the first time he would be up for sure would be moving from the church ranch, and then anybody that wanted to, but he wanted to be not real experienced, but at least somebody who's been on a horse before, not start helping at the ranch. But he's welcome to any help. I mean, they would like it. Anytime we have people that want to help run the cattle, they're more than welcome to do that. But they will be doing them on the weekend of June the 2nd. That moves them to Trevelich's place, which is the church ranch, coming up the road, which will be kind of a long turn to the windmill.
That's
kind of a long
run. Is it coming out of the church ranch or Leach's ranch?
Trevor's is at kind of
the different places.
It's Trevor's. I thought it was a church ranch.
No, church ranch is down way down in Johnson County.
Which is Trevor's ranch?
Into the asphalt. If you go west, it's
so
right. Deer Springs. Go west, 5 miles.
Is that Trevor Leach's?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where it is then. Trevor Leach's. Yeah. So you're going. Okay, so it's from Trevor Leach's.
12 miles.
Up the dirt road towards Alton.
No, only about 2 miles up the dirt road toward Alton.
Okay.
Is on the right hand side of all Trevor Leach's. But from his place to our windmill is about 12 miles.
Okay. Okay, well then that's where it's going to be. That's what
this
I need.
This is an all day event. That's what he's
saying.
Yeah. To push him from here up on top. This is an all day event.
June 2nd.
Now, is he going to supply horses for those who want to do that, or is he
going to bring out
there? Okay, is people going to have to sign a waiver on that, or that they're going to join in the activity?
I think it's right at your own risk. Okay. You bring your own horse, you do your own thing, so you have to be...
Maybe make sure if you put that out on the bulletin to everybody.
Okay, so we'll just call it a BYO.
BYOH.
Bring your own horse.
Insured
by yourself. Okay.
I think that's important to put out there that people don't think it's a misleading situation.
Right, okay. And then the June the 13th and 14th, they will move from the windmill to the ranch. That's the plan so far. It could change.
Okay.
For sure, on July the 8th and 9th, they will have one. They said they will move from Broad Hollow to the Meadow. Anyway, so those will be short ones. Or move them around the ranch area, so we can do here up to the point out there and back or whatever.
But he's planning on cooking a cow and all kinds of things at that one.
Right. It's going to be, it's gonna be regular.
Cooking a cow? Did you say cooking a cow?
I've got a barbecue.
Cool. Hey!
Barbecue beef? Wow. Okay. Anyway, so he's trying to make that in the
Thursday.
So that's
part
of
it. Over there, so.
Okay. So that'll be the big major. That'll be the big major event so far.
What's
that? Got longhorn?
All right. Hey, you got anything else there?
That's all I'm doing.
All right. Does anybody have any notes from David on cabin maintenance?
Oh, I don't know.
Or if
not, let's jump right into the next item, the legal public safety, Jody.
Really don't have a lot on the agenda for to get done right now, except for next month. This month, I want to start, now that we've got the first initial crisis over here, and then we're in place, I want to start working on the past due assessments and working on that real hard this next month. Well, that will be like working with Linda, getting some letters sent out, that kind of thing.
Okay. With that assessment, list of assessments you want to send out to everybody, are there, you said you've had some complaints from some people? That about some people who aren't paying. You emailed me a letter stating that you've received a handful of.
Well, that was when the assessments went up. That's not now.
No, you said also here about the people who haven't paid, who are delinquents, who are late. The other day you emailed me about that.
That was about the ones that when the assessments went up. The only one that's written is Mary Shriver. That's on the agenda.
And he called me actually and clarified that. The email that I sent back to her, that I think I probably copied to you or to everybody, she said that explained a lot, and she was really grateful for that email, and she said she's fine. Not a problem.
Well, there was, there have been two different letters or requests for members' input and attitude and evaluation. And we asked a month or two ago that those letters be shared with the board. And I still think they should if they're board business. We talk about transparency and full disclosure that those, and you mentioned the first group you got around 25, and the last time, 6 or 8 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw the letter that you said you were not going to share that with the board. Is that still the case?
Yes, it is.
I know you asked to share that with the board, and I think the board has a right to...
I'm not sharing the information that came when I wrote that letter. I was not on the board. I have no obligation to do so. The ones that came up when we raised the assessment were all handled right then and there. Linda was very diligent about getting on and writing them back an email. It wasn't a big issue. And... Yeah, they can contact the board if they want to do that. It was in help to get that done, and Linda did that. I don't think that was a big issue. I think you're, you know.
Well, I read that letter. It was about some of the recent stuff there where you targeted a couple of names and so forth about assessments that weren't current, caught up. I think there's probably a copy.
Those kinds of, that's an executive.
Yes, if you want to discuss that, I think you wait for executive for that.
Well, the letter implied that there was things being done under the table, that there were things being done.
That's the letter that I sent back to them.
Okay.
Clarify that to who?
To those people that had the information to know what to do.
All right. We'll go ahead. We'll go ahead and move that for a second. All right. Then moving on into communication reservations. If there's nothing else, Jody. Yeah, that's right.
The professional agenda per se was back before our new Ranch managers were here, so I think she would be micromanaging right now, and we'll see how things pan out.
Okay.
So I think she should be rough.
Okay. And maybe if they put together some kind of schedule that they foresee,
it wouldn't hurt, but as of right now.
And the ball in my run with it. you're going to
help. I think we need a calendar with what needs to be done each month, and if you guys don't want to do that, I will do it and you can edit it, because I really think it's very good to, by month, we need to do, hugging or whatever.
We know you're very busy. Yeah, let's them get a
human chance.
You go in, and if they run a journal, like a weekly journal, you can always go back in the journal to highlight, like, specific tasks, not the tedious part, but, like, brush hog.
Well, yeah.
And then we can look at that in time and say, it looks like they're doing this each month, and we can kind of get a schedule from that. But we got to let them go because there was a lack of turnover. So let's let them go.
I think that's the direction that the board can give them. This is my personal, as a board, as a branch member, not as, I'm obviously not a board member, not even a secretary. I mean, these feelings are not as a secretary, but as a member of the ranch, I feel like we need to give direction on a monthly basis to what they should look for to be done. And, I mean, they don't know how things are going out here, and to let them do it, no offense. To let them do it is just like letting them walk in the dark, and just leads to problems. If we can say, okay, in May, you need to think about doing this. In June, we need to do that. In July, it's too hot to do anything, so just have fun. You know, whatever. It needs to be on a list so that they know what to look for to be doing that month. And then they can come and say, well, how do we do this? What do we do it? Where do we go for this? And get the other information. That's what this list is about.
Yeah. Well, I think right now, and that's good, because we do have a lot of different projects for them to do. And I think their main priority right now, I think they're catching on right now, is we need to get everything open. We need to get everything up and running. I think we need to get a big cleanup around the ranch headquarters to make it presentable for our guests when they come in.
This is a clean?
Brent's done a wonderful job.
Working his tail off.
My God.
I want to
more so go for the weeding area and stuff of the general appearance when we first pull in.
Come on out.
Where's the before and after picture? I'm going to give you guys just a little teeny bit of perspective. Everyone's right. The most important thing you can do with me if you want my help is tell me what you want me to do and then get out of my way.
Right.
To micromanage me is a huge mistake. You don't want to do that. I don't think that's a good way to do it. I think that we take Linda's plan and we say to them once they get their peanuts underneath them, May is the month to get the cabins open. Jim, we have this. What we don't need is seven individual board members with their own tunnel vision.
Right.
And so all they see is what's directly from them, and if they don't see this getting done, they go, oh, why isn't this done? But they don't. But from a board's perspective, then they should go, okay, we're going to get done right now. We should get done next month. And this project will get done next month. And this project will get done next month. And, I don't know how to put the situation any other way than this, and that is these guys are going to be just overwhelmed with members coming in, learning who the members are, you know, introducing themselves to the members, and just doing all this stuff, you know, everything that's going on. And it's just like the Friday night barbecue thing. And I was...
Are we still doing this?
Well, that's, I'm glad you're here. I don't like that.
That's so true.
I will never come down to the Friday night barbecue simply because
that's too many people.
I with this many people. but I won't. But a lot of people like it. I've talked to several who say it's a great thing. It's really great. But if you look at the budget, we lost money. Okay. Now, so what I'm suggesting is Friday's not. Everybody said, well, Friday's a great day because, the members come in and they don't want to have to cook dinner. They can sit down to this potluck thing or whatever. What happens is Friday's also the busiest day because people are coming in. It's like it's frantic from early morning to late at night. Who's ever doing the cooking doesn't have time to do it.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, fine. I don't care. I'm never going to come, so it doesn't matter to me. But I would suggest having a Saturday pub where the managers don't have any real responsibility to do anything other than people come down and everybody brings a dish.
It's called a Saturday night potluck.
Yeah, you can call it whatever you want. And everybody comes down, they bring a dish, and they all sit around and chit-chat. I just think the one thing we don't want to have the managers get involved in is
providing food.
We don't need to add another layer of things that we need to get done.
You know, work, responsibility, and extent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all I do is, as you guys know, I've described myself as a social liberal and a cynical conservative. I'm socially liberal until it costs any money. Okay? And as soon as it starts costing money, I'm no longer liberal. And I look at what we lost in the Friday night barbecue. It wasn't much, $680 or something like that, if I remember correctly. Right. But
a bad sense.
But $680 is $680. Okay?
Yep.
So, it's kind of like the store. Alright? You know, the store, ice and ice cream, and a couple other minor items, we can make money on the store, all right? We try to put too many items in there, we're just carrying inventory that never moves.
Yeah.
And that's pretty simple. In fact, if you haven't walked in the store, you need to walk in there. Mary cleaned that thing.
It
was a disaster.
Yeah, it was.
And she spent a lot of time in there, and so I allowed her to change things.
Okay.
My point being is, the social things we put together and whatever, I think they need to be more member-driven than either board-driven or member-driven, and the managers can participate in them as whatever the managers need to do that.
Well, I think you're right, I believe that. It's a nice thing to have so we can get a new member.
So you
kind of need to have a social event, and so if you do that, it's just like you don't have to do anything major, you know, like say maybe you got some frozen hamburger or hamburger, whatever it is, just tell people to come down and do a potluck. It's really, you know how it is.
I think the potluck is
thing.
Idea.
And then everybody shares their dinner. Kind of have a share your dinner night on Saturday. Yeah. No, it's kind of fun. That's when you learn how to play that. Is the cornhole game still here?
Yeah.
Oh. I played it. Gone. No, I was gonna make two, and I only got that one set then.
As far as the Friday night cookout, though, that was the success of the Friday night cookout. Not the game. Building membership, communications, getting together, goodwill. It was the success of the Friday night cookout.
Well, and see, the thing that everybody tells me is, I meet members all the time. And I don't need to meet them anymore. But for those members who don't come here all the time, and I talked to people, I talked to Brock, they've been here for 16 years. They said, well, you know, the so-and-so, and they go, I don't know, because they're never here when they're here.
That's right.
And so, I'm all for this thing. I just think that the managers should, you know.
No, you don't want to have to go to hard work.
I agree. That's really good. Everybody gets together and say, hey, we're going to have a potluck if you want to come down. I don't even, let's leave these guys. Let's go to these guys as a church. If they choose to have that, then more power to them. They're going to
be
there.
They'll like it because they'll have it. Food is the comfort thing that brings everybody together.
Well, if you guys choose to do that, then, you know, more power to you.
The sling.
I like the idea. But like I said, we'll get a good chance for them to meet everybody.
Yeah. I'd like to go back and address what Linda was talking about. I think she's absolutely right. These guys are so new. I mean, you don't start learning about this stuff. I've been here, probably 8 years. I didn't start learning about stuff until 2 years ago. So to have a master plan of what really needs to be done by the month would be a really good thing in place that we know that this is what they're going to have their hands full doing projects and learning while they're first year. But we need to find some kind of goal every month that, hey, we've got May, cabins have to be open, June, this is, whatever has to be done. So they know what's coming up, and that way we're not expecting them to do something that they don't even know they're supposed to be doing. I think we really need to do that.
Well,
we would really like to have
it open, and some fencing help right now would be
So I think we need to work on that list for me.
Okay, can we do it this way? You know, it's just kind of like the honeybee list. If we had a whiteboard in there and you put in the things that need to be done, and then we put priorities of which ones need to be done first. So they have an idea.
Well, I think we should have priorities to be shipped. We should divide that up by month so that they're not overwhelmed.
Well, that's not overwhelming them. They have an idea what's coming up. They know what's going to happen. And sometimes you just have to shift them according to priority of what's happening. What comes next? Sometimes
if we would have built this plan, know what you're going on. We wouldn't have the problem with Paul and Nancy that we did either. Sure. You know, everything would have been month-to-month. And you're so right on it when you said that. We need to have a plan. And, yeah, I'm so agreeing.
Well, I'm implying that, you know, first month, you know, let them get their feet wet. Learn the valves, some tanks. But if you wanted to put something on for the next month until we meet again, I mean, I would say clean up, open the cabins, equipment service, which is already 90% taken care of, and then fence evaluation and minor repair, and let's see where we're going with it. I mean, and then that's something that could roll each year, and we can fly single items a little bit. So those are my four, if anyone has any opinion on that. I mean, and then we'll be back next month, hopefully in an email we can get some more detail and have it ready for the next meeting.
Yeah.
I think we can. I think we all think about what projects we know are upcoming and see what we can start working on. Yes, sir.
It sounds like the height, if that's the right word,
well, yeah, those kinds of things come up.
Yeah, it's more than just these four. These are just when you wake up and don't have anything to do.
There's every day you're not putting out fires.
Yeah.
That's the one interesting thing about this place.
It's not a boring situation.
You're never
bored. Do every day.
You are never bored.
It's interesting. It's neat. It's a neat place.
Yeah,
it's we're all out here because it's a neat place to be.
I thought Nance was working on one.
All right.
Let's build this one.
Yes, I thought Nancy was doing a new one with the fence on it.
Maybe.
So I don't know.
Okay, so I suggest that we get to make a priority list.
Let's start thinking about it.
Bring that to our meeting next time.
Well, let's start throwing around on email.
Start
putting up some thoughts and ideas on email. Let's start building a list for them. Okay. Perfect. And next item is that member request from Mary Schreiber. Somebody have that?
Yes, she asked that I put this on the agenda. I took it on at the end for you. She's concerned about the drilling rig that's inside Canyon.
Oh, my word, stop it. I don't know how to move it. You know how to move it? I can't get it out of there. The guy's trying to move it. It's stuck in a hole.
I should tell you, people I know,
no kidding. If I knew how to get it out of there, believe me, I'd do it.
Yeah.
He's got thousands of dollars of pit down in that hole, and he wants to get it out.
It can't come out.
That's right. The rail drilling rig's down in. He can't get it out, so it's stuck.
And
it's thousands of dollars
out of bed,
and trying to get it out.
Is that cotter?
Yes, and if I can get it out, tell me, I would do it.
Has it been there 6-7 years?
Yeah. Well, when did you guys start drilling that well?
About 7 years ago.
So, it can't
be well, stuck 7 years ago. It's just got stuck in the last 2 years.
What?
That's right. Dynamite, maybe, but we can cut off part out of it.
So then,
did he ever get water?
Oh yeah, there's water. He can't get in there, but he's stuck.
Can he? I thought that he could go ahead and pull his rig out. He may have to leave the vent in the bottom of the well.
He may have to leave the pipe vent in.
I think he's loose from the vent.
He actually is loose from the bed. All he needs to do is pull.
So if we can pull the bed out.
So. Well, you tell him. I don't think he wants to leave his bit. That's his whole problem. He's trying to figure out another thing that he can go to the side, drill in, and
and free it up so he doesn't lose it.
You know what? At the point of this many years, and I think Larry could probably test for this one here. You lost that equipment for 7 years of use over how much of it? Just a couple $1,000 bid or something like that?
He's been using that machine in different things, so he has not been there every time.
He's
been other welds.
The same time a loss of all that piece of equipment has got to be outrageous compared to losing a bid. Write it off and go with it.
No, he's used it. He's taken it and used it in other places.
Do you think somebody's going to steal that bid?
Good point. Let them steal it and then go after them.
They pull it up, then go get it.
It's easier to get those troubled kids in there and tell them to buy it.
Don't
there's diamonds. You see, there's diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
Hang
a for sale sign on it and see when we call you get.
There you go.
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times that's happened.
How deep has he drilled for you?
I think he's been 300 feet. I don't know where he's stuck at. So, I don't know.
Sean's got other problems. Her one little access road and culvert washed out. And, you know.
Yeah.
All right, is there anything else that needs to come before this meeting then? Anything else from the members?
Let these guys get up and say something after Larry.
Just a quick update. Brent and I had looked at the pond, the BLM catchment pond out there on the reseed. Not the BLM point pond, but the lower. And I went out and made the repair on it. So it's ready to catch whatever storms we get.
That's your invoice.
And I didn't invoice because I did another little bit of a ditch work up on the Bear Springs pond catchment going into the Red Reservoir, and we talked about working on some of the head gates that I'll do in between times the next, you know, so I'll just do it like an invoice month instead of...
We were talking about getting the head gates was a meeting, the last situation about getting Jeff involved helping you with those head gates.
That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here, though. We volunteered you. I didn't even know it. Sorry.
But we got you some help right now.
I did work. I think you've seen the 18-7 person.
Yeah.
Work with the heavy. Anyway, that's just the, you know, where it is. I talked to Dale about it. He's not sure. Wherever you guys want to put it,
my thought, and I talked to Dan about it a little bit, was that the west meadow, you know, the fence line up the hill, along the west edge of the meadow, and I kept it open the last 3 years, an ATV trail from the cabin on up into this pipeline and around the forest or whatever. So if it were, there's a gate there at the corner of lot 161, and that may be where we want to put it so that, you know, somebody's riding from the cabin.
Oh,
up through that way, we're not stopping and getting it. If somebody has to open the gate, then our gate's going to be left
open.
And then the longhorns are up into the forest.
Okay. That's a good idea.
I just
dropped it over there. But,
the other possibility would be potentially somewhere in the forest up along the big iron gate. But then that opens up to the DC.
I like that one better.
Yeah.
Now, so if I know, there's enough material to make almost the same size. It's just a little bit smaller than I'm going to make sometime this summer, too. I'll get that made and brought up, too, but I can't commit as to when yet, so.
Well, you did a good job on that other one. I got to tell you, that thing is...
You have a make right.
I still have the material by my finger here.
So maybe possibly both.
And what the rest of the board, I mean, this is the stuff that Paul started a long time ago out here, and then they got all damaged, bent, tweaked. And when I got looking at it, it wasn't rated to take a vehicle over for a cattle car like you was thinking.
Sean had donated some strainer tongues.
That's what I thought they were.
And that's too light a steel for
the
vehicle cattle car.
Yeah.
And we were just trying to get by back then, but...
What I did, I just... brainstorm. I did it without anybody's approval, that I knew we wanted some kind of cattle guard, and what I found out we did up at our place up there is with our neighbor Jonesy over there. He likes to drive on his lot without having to stop and open his fingers. So, complaint with us, he we built a cattle guard and put it up there. It's an ATV cattle guard. I got pictures. This would be a perfect ATV cattle guard / snowmobile cattle guard. And it will safely fit even my Ranger across there for Minnesota. Nothing out there wider than a Ranger.
So. I have a question on putting an ATV cattle guard in. You have to have wings also, right?
Not necessarily.
With the ATV cattle guard, you could have just a fence post. I mean, you could
on both sides.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that was my question. If you're going too fast, what is the risk of getting right into the side post?
No more risk. No more risk than you hit in the tree driving around there too. So.
Okay.
Okay. I'm the driver.
I personally don't do ATV. I do Jeeps. But I was just thinking, if somebody's racing down an ATV road, that's what I see, is there a risk of hitting the cattle garden and hitting something on the side and hurting themselves?
If you see a cattle guard, you're going to slow down.
Only the driver.
I think that's going to be the safety of everybody anyways. They're out here riding ATVs on their own anyway.
Say what again?
That's called common sense.
Just curious on that one, because I haven't seen that set up.
Just one thing for the board, so you know what's going on. Bob Becker and I are going to repair that S-turn over there that you can't really pull a trailer across now without falling in that big ditch.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, we're going to put another culvert in there, extend the road over to the right about 3 feet, take off that one turn there, but it's going to amount to cutting his water pipe that he waters his cattle with. But we'll put it right back together. I just in case he complains.
Did he talk to him about it yet? The Riggins Altar's Road?
No. You do it and then ask for forgiveness later. It's dangerous.
Can I volunteer? Maybe a couple of our old concrete culverts we have never used in freaking years.
You can take as many as you would like. I've already got the culverts.
We have the culverts over there right now.
Okay.
They're going to be deep enough where they're plastic.
Look, do you know what we have up here at the pit right now?
Yeah.
The gravel pit?
Oh,
no. The big ones.
No, we had the concrete just moved up there too.
Or the
concrete's there too.
You might take a quick look at those, Lee. There's some concrete culverts there that we figured we could piece together. There's a couple of them that have some holes or some damaged areas that you could put a piece of mesh or something over and just fill over them. It'd be fine. But the night works a little bit better.
Okay.
And I'm sure we can use something down here.
I just wanted you to know, just in case you... Because I've lifted these cattle guards and cleaned them out a bunch of times. He thinks I'm covering the cattle guards with dirt with the grader. Well, how can you do that without tearing up your blade?
Yeah. You ripped the cattle guard up, too. The cattle guard's not as strong as that blade is.
Getting cantankerous.
Yeah. Is there anything else from the members of the board? Our members of the board and or the members? Period. You guys want to throw anything else into this?
I think they need to get up and introduce themselves and then...
Yeah, we got 5 minutes talking to you. Yeah, let's hear
them talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly, what do you guys want to know?
We've heard a lot from on this end right here. You've got a couple of new members over here. This is our Pogo crew.
New members.
This is the Pogo crew over here.
It's your choice.
This is some new faces for you right over here. Maybe introduce yourself a little bit.
On that side of the ranch, there's 3 sections.
I'll explain your personality. It's not geography.
I remember that Chris too, by the way.
Lifestyle.
He's a Podunk too.
I'm a Podunk too, so.
I'm happy to be here. I'm Jeff and Dad.
Yeah,
I'm Gabby. And anyway, we're just looking to learn what we can and get to the priorities as best as we can. And I'm, wanting to make sure that we get, this ranch house remodeled or whatever, so that we can be comfortable, because if we're comfortable, then we're productive. And, so I'm wondering what kind of, you know, bug items are there, or what's allowed, or what would be reasonable, and like for the wiring and some of those things. And then do paintings and flooring. I've got some parquet or
Sure. Did you get countertop? I didn't even go look.
We haven't done anything yet.
A couple of weeks behind where we want to be.
But we've been building now.
The focus is to be out of the garden by the weekend. That's what 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll do
that.
And at some point we'll need to go back and get stuff.
Of course.
Sure.
And allow some time for that.
Okay.
I'm really excited. I think this is awesome. You know, I'd like to get into this groove of it. And you guys look like you're really awesome. Such a change from where we've been. It's actually more like what I had in my life, you know, when I was at the top of the year. So,
don't take this crowd as being representative of the average intellect of the ranch. This crowd is you'll like everyone else.
The other one is smarter, right?
Well, y'all are sitting over there going,
well, with that said, I'd like to make motion we adjourn again.
Okay, second,
man. All in favor?
Yeah.
Any opposed?